Take your Bibles with me, if you would, please, and go with me to Romans chapter 12. Romans chapter 12. I want to give to you this morning for these next few moments. Pastor, tell me how long I have. You don't tell a preacher that. Well, he can this morning because when I finish here, they've asked me to come to Brightmoor Tabernacle for the second service there. So I will slip out and you'll understand that, if you would, please. I want to show you from the Word of God the key to living in the fullness of Jesus. It is not a mystery. It is not a hope type of thing. But in the Word, it is given to us the formula or the purpose, the plan that God ordained from the beginning of creation so that we as a child of God can live happily in the fullness of the Lord. But there's a part we got to play, and I'm going to show it to you from the Word of the Lord. In Romans chapter 12, it says this: trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him. And he, say it with me. Well, three of you. What does it say? He will direct your path. Think of that. The care of the Lord, the design that God put in place, is that we would live out the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. Let me say that again. It is God's intent that you as a Christian live in the fullness of the blessing of the Lord. Not maybe. But it's a provision, it's a fact. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not to thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy path. So, let me bring you now to the part that we got to play. And we have to follow. God has a design. God has a plan for each and every child of God that makes a decision to follow his son Jesus. Let me say that again. God has a plan and a purpose and a design for every child of God, for everyone that accepts Jesus Christ. And this whole matter is hinged on that. You have to make a decision to follow the Lord Jesus Christ. Not maybe. Well, I think I got saved. No, it isn't. You got to know beyond a shadow of a doubt that you have been born again. That Jesus Christ lives within your heart and life. And you are serving him. That doesn't mean you're perfect, but it means that you have a desire to serve the Lord. Understand that? You say, how do I get that? Well, I'm going to show you how you get it. The purpose of God and the plan of God is called a will. A will, not a document of a paper. I'm talking about a will, a desire to serve him. And with that desire, there'll be birthed within your heart and life a plan that will become sensitized to do what he wants you to do and to live like he wants you to live. Let me say that again. I want you, if you forget everything else I say this morning, remember this. He will give to you a desire to please him and to live a life that is pleasing to him. Yes. Now let me take you to the person of Jesus. Three times prior to Christ's crucifixion on the cross, he's made this statement. Father, if it be possible, let this cup pass from me. Three times. Not my will, but thy will be done. Jesus came to that place when he recognized what was ahead for him, the crucifixion. And I was studying the crucifixion this past week in the Word. Horrible. Horrible what he went through. I mean, you can't comprehend fully, I'm sure none of us do, what he suffered. But he was brought to that place because of his desire to please his Father and to do his Father's will. Now that's where we come into the scene. We have to live with a desire to do the will of God in one's life. Not maybe. You say, Brother Trask, how do I know that? Well, you will know that if you will take time to pray, and that is a key to knowing the will of God for one's life. You will have to be a person of prayer, because that's what he answers. Prayer is what you have to talk to God about. It's through prayer that brings you to a place of surrender. It's prayer that brings you to a place of laying your will aside and desiring to do his will. And let me tell you something. He will show you his will if you want to know it. Not maybe, church, but fact. He will show you his will for your life. I can take you back to several times in these years of ministry that I have had to arrive at a decision. I'll tell you one, maybe two, maybe three. I've counted there's been at least five times that major decisions had to be made and I had to know his will. I was serving as district superintendent at the time here in Michigan and had been in office 3 years. And as a district superintendent, you don't do that. You don't just get in and get out. You stay there. Except. And Brother Bob Bowman called me and he said, Brother Trask, he said, he had suffered a major heart attack and had been out of the pulpit for several months. And he said, I'm going to step aside. And he said, I'm wondering if you would be interested in coming to Brightmoor Tabernacle to pastor. I said, not in your life. No. In the Assemblies of God, you don't follow a man who's been there 42 years. Usually there's got to be a buffer in between. And I said, Brother Bowman, I said, I'm sorry, I'm not unhappy in serving as district superintendent. I said, I feel that I'm in the will of God. I know I'm in the will of God. Well, he said, you need to make it a matter of prayer. Yeah. So I said to him, I'll do that. And I did. I prayed like this, Lord, I know it's not your will for me to go there. Oh, you've never prayed that way? Come on, come on. We're human. So he asked me if I would come and sit down with his board, and I did. And the board said to me, Brother Trask, would you be willing to submit your name to be pastor of Brightmoor Tabernacle? I said, thank you, but I have no interest at all. I'm serving as district superintendent, and I'm not unhappy. I'm happy doing what God's asked me to do. But I tell you what I'll do. I'll give you six names of successful pastors in churches across the fellowship, and you can appoint a committee from this board, and you can go visit these six places, and you'll find a pastor, one of those men. So I did that, and they did that, went and traveled and came back and said, we didn't find anybody. What about you? This was in a board meeting with Pastor Bowman sitting there. I said, well, I tell you what, I'm going to Indonesia to preach a crusade. And I'll tell you what I'll do. I'll fast and pray till I know that I know that I know I've heard from God. I must confess to you, men, I haven't really made it a matter of prayer. I just assumed I knew the will of the Lord. So I went to the crusade and went to the mission compound, and they had a chapel on the compound. And I said to the missionary, look, I'm going to go to the chapel and I'm going to stay there. I got something I got to settle with God, and don't bother me until I come out of there. So I went to the chapel and I began to pray like this. Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I know that you're not going to ask me to go to Brightmoor Tabernacle. You ever pray that way? Come on. And I couldn't get any peace. And hours went by. And I would pray that prayer over again. I said, Lord, I'll do whatever you want me to do, but I think I know what you want me to do. Finally, I said, okay, Lord, after hours, I said, okay, what do you want me to do? Do you want me to go to Brightmoor Tabernacle and pastor that church? And the peace of God came over my spirit. And I, at that moment, knew I had the will of God ahead of me. And I went back to the mission compound, and I said, the missionary said to me, he said, Brother Trask, what are you going to do? I said, I'm going to go back, and I'm going to submit my name to become pastor at Brightmoor Tabernacle. He said, you're crazy. Really, good help. He was sincere. He was right. But God had a will from my life. So I went back and I said to the board, I'll submit my name, but I've asked the Lord, and in that setting in the chapel, after that peace came over me, I said, okay, Lord, I'm going to do what you've asked me to do, but I got some things I want to ask you to do. Number one, I'm not a person who can keep going through the mechanics. The church had a great history, and now it was had dropped down significantly because Brother Bowman was out of the pulpit as a result of a heart attack. And I said, Lord, if I go there, you're going to have to help me build that church. Number one. Number two, I got to have a strong vote. That's a large congregation. And the third one, you're not going to know. because I've never told anybody what the third one was. But so I did that, and the board. I went back and met with the board and the pastor, and we set up a. They set up a voting time, and when the vote was taken, I got all but two votes. And the two ladies that voted against me come to me afterwards and said, "Brother Trask, we're sorry we voted against you." I said, "That's okay. Doesn't matter." I said, and they said, "We had our son-in-law that we thought would be a good pastor, so that's why we didn't vote for you. No big deal." So I went there and served the church for 14 years. We relocated Brightmoor Tabernacle to Southfield, Michigan. We were there this last week, this last Friday. They're getting ready to celebrate their 100th anniversary. That's really why I'm up here, to help them. They've asked me to come and get ready for the 100th anniversary celebration next year. But we watched God take the church from 700, 800 to over 2,000 new facilities. It was wonderful. You know why? Because I was doing the will of God. His plan was better than any plan I could come up with. His desire for you is to fulfill his will for you. And you, what you must do, you must talk to him. That's prayer. Talk to him. He'll listen. And you know what? He'll talk to you. You will come to know and recognize the voice of the Lord. And why? Because he wants to let you enjoy the fulfillment of his will. That's what Jesus encountered. "Father, is it possible, let this cup pass from me? Nevertheless, not my will." Three times. "Thy will be done." And what he went through to purchase your salvation and my salvation, our salvation, is phenomenal. But it was in the fulfillment of the Father, his Father's will, and the same desire for you and for me and for all of us as a child of God is that we live out the fulfillment of his will. Think of that. It isn't a mystery. I said, it isn't a mystery. He knows. Let me tell you another one. We were pastoring a little church when we first came to Michigan, Vicksburg, Michigan. Brother Cooley, the district superintendent, said, "Brother Trask, you'll either feel like staying or feel like running." Well, we didn't know why until we got there that Sunday. They didn't have any bathrooms in the place because a former pastor took the bathrooms out of the place. And just a handful of people. And I preached, and we made a matter of prayer, and the Lord said, "This is where I want you. Vicksburg, Michigan." Not enough people there to float a boat. But with 10 people in the congregation. But we knew. We knew that's where God wanted us. The superintendent sent us to a church earlier in that, a church of about 300 over on the east side of the state. And we came back, we said, we didn't feel a thing. Not going there. Well, in the human, you would think you would choose that over this, what this is. Except, well, I was in prayer one day, and the district had a person who served as DCAP, State Youth Director. Bob Way was his name. Some of you might remember Bob and Florence, wonderful people. But they were asked to come to Springfield, Missouri to serve as the Servicemen's Division Director. And they had accepted. So now the responsibility of the presbyter board was to elect or appoint a new DCAP, CA director. And in my prayer, the Lord spoke to me and said, they're going to ask you. I said, not me, Lord. And I said to Shirley, the presbytery is going to meet on Monday night, and they're going to ask me to serve as DCAP. She said, you're crazy. We hadn't been in the district very long. They don't even know you exist over here in Vicksburg, Michigan. I said, I don't know. But it's going to happen. She really thought I lost my marbles. Well, Monday came, and that's the night the presbyter board in Dearborn, Michigan was meeting. And Shirley was going to a WM meeting over at the church. And we had Kimberly at the time, and she said, you watch Kim. I said, I'll take care. And she said, okay. I said, now prepare yourself because they're going to call and say that you're being asked to serve as DCAP. She said, Tom, they don't even know we exist in this district. We've only been here a couple of years. I said, I don't know. We wait and see. So about 8:30 Monday night, she was at the WM meeting. The phone rang. And the person on the phone said, this is Brother Cooley, District Superintendent Brother Trask, and the presbyter board's in session, and as you know, Bob Way, DCAP, has left the district and gone to Springfield, but the board in session has appointed you as the new DCAP. I wish you could have seen Shirley's face when she came home. She walked in and she said, well, I suppose you got your call, huh? I said, yeah, we did. We got to go to Dearborn tomorrow morning. She said, you did not. I said, I did. And they did. And we're going tomorrow morning. How does all that happen? Not by accident. It happens. It's pretty simple. It's so simple we'll miss it if we aren't careful. It's when we commit our life and our future and our all to Him. So that the desire of your heart is, Lord, I want to do what you want me to do. I want to please you above everything else. It has nothing to do with money. It has nothing to do with titles. It has to do with the will of a God in heaven through the person of Jesus Christ. And you will discover that in prayer. He said, are you sure? Yeah, I promise you. When you surrender your all, that's what he's talking about here. I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies. You just don't give him your heart, you give him yourself. You give him your future. You give him what you are or what you have and what you belong. It's you want to please him. Lord, I'm a child of God. I serve you. I want to please you. Whatever you want is what I want. Let me tell you something, church. You can't miss. Because here's the key. Living under the canopy of God's will, you will enjoy the fullness of blessing. Let me say that again. When you live under the canopy of knowing that you're doing and fulfilling and living His will, what you are now going to embrace is the canopy of His favor and of His grace. and of his help and of his provision, so that you will know beyond a shadow of a doubt you are where you ought to be, doing what you ought to be doing, living as you are designed to live, because he has revealed to you his will. So here's how you pray. Lord, show me your will. And there are, let me give them to you quickly here. I got 3 pages of notes, but I've bailed on those already. But there are three factors that you must be aware of. One is, and over here in the book of Romans, chapter 12, presentation. You got to present yourself to him. I said, you got to present yourself to him. He's not going to force himself on you. You're not worth your salt if you think he's going to do that. Make you do his will. You'll be sorry you did it. I tell you that. But if you live out his desire, his will, and that's why the writer said that. You go to the book of Psalms, chapter 140, I'm trying to read here, 143, verse 10. It said, he said, listen to this. Teach me to do thy will, for thou art my God. Thy spirit is good. Lead me into the land of uprightness. So there, it begins with a presentation. That's what Romans is talking about. I beseech you therefore, brethren, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. You ready for that? Let me tell you, when you do, it is like heaven on earth, because you know that you're doing what's pleasing the Lord, that you accepted as Lord and Savior, and everything you touch, God's hand is upon. Presentation. Let me give you the second one. Consecration. There has to be a place of consecration. I consecrate, I give myself to you, Lord. I yield my will to your will. I want to please you more than life itself, because that's where life begins. That's what Jesus found. Think of that. A presentation, a consecration. But as long as you desire to sit there and do your own will, he'll let you. He'll let you do your thing. But you'll regret it. I'm just telling you the secret to joyful living. I'm just telling you how the scripture teaches us. It's the fullness of his will. It's doing what he's asked us to do. Living for him. Not for yourself. Let me give you the third one. And it is this. Presentation, consecration, and then you'll enjoy transformation. Oh, is that good? I said, is that good? I'm going to tell you one more one. I was a pastor at Brentmore Tabernacle when Ivor Frick, who was serving as district superintendent, who followed me in that office, came to me and he said, Brother Trotsky, said, Marion, my wife, is not well, and I'm going to have to leave the office. And I had been elected assistant superintendent after having served as superintendent. But he said, I want you to call a special business meeting of the district and to elect a new district superintendent. I said, I'll do it. So I did. And I'll never forget, we were meeting in the back room prior to that meeting, and he said, and I knew we were loved by the Michigan District, and he said, what are you going to do? I said, well, if I'm elected on the nominating ballot, I'll serve. But if it isn't, I'm going to pull my name. He said, you can't do that. I said, I can. He said, no, you can't do that. I said, oh, yes. You know why? Because the Lord showed me in prayer. I took time to go to our campgrounds out for Hola Park. We had a trailer out there. And I spent hours, Lord, show me your will. Show me your will in this whole matter. I knew, I loved the Michigan district. I knew we were loved. So we went to the special called council. Brad was there. And it was in Lansing, Michigan. And they took the ballot, nominating ballot. And when they brought the returns of the nominee ballot, I was lacking, I think if I remember right, I think 11 votes to be elected district superintendent of the nominated ballot. So I got up and I said, I withdraw my name. I'm not available. And I'll never forget, your pastor was sitting in the middle of the auditorium. Several pastors gathered around him and said, Brad, get to your dad. We want him to serve. So Brad comes around the back of the auditorium up on the platform and kneels behind me on the platform. He said, Dad, they want you to serve. I said, I understand, Brad, but I can't change the game on the Lord in the middle of the game. If I had been, what the Lord showed me, if you're elected in a nominated ballot, it's okay for you to serve. But if you're not elected, that's not my will. So I said to Brad, it's okay. Don't worry about it. It's all right. So they went on, and I think 8 or 9 ballots later, they elected a new district superintendent. We went home. Walked in the church office the next morning, and the office, Brightmore there, had balloons and welcome home, Pastor. They all knew what was going on. You can't keep these things a secret. And I was happy. Oh, was I happy. Because I love that church. And I love those people. And I love that congregation. They were wonderful. They loved each other. They loved the Word of God. They loved the altars. They loved serving Jesus. It was one of the great, 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 great churches in the Assemblies of God. The greatest, no question. At least it was for me. That was on Friday. On Thursday night at 5 o'clock, I walked into home, the office, or the house. The phone rang, and Brother G. Raymond Carlson was on the phone, District General Superintendent in Springfield, Missouri. And he said, Brother Trask, he said, this is Brother Carlson. Well, he was my president when I was attending North Central Bible College. I love the man. And he said, the executive presbyter board's in session, and our general treasurer's resigned, and they have elected you as general treasurer for the Assemblies of God. I didn't even know they were meeting. I didn't. I had no idea they were in session. I didn't care. I was so fulfilled pastoring that church in Detroit, Michigan. He said they've elected you as general treasurer. I said, Billy Carlson, I'm a pastor. What do I know about being general treasurer? If I had known what I knew after I got there, I probably would have. They were $5 million upside down in debt when I... Well, I said to him, Brother Carlson, I got to pray about this. He said, you got till tomorrow morning. So he said, 8 o'clock, he said, I'll be calling you. And he said, the board's in session. They got to have an answer. Well, Shirley and I never slept that night. Our prayer was, Lord, show us your will. Show us what you want. what you desire. And he did. Let me tell you, through prayer, you talk to him and he'll talk to you. Let me say it again. In prayer, you talk to him, he'll talk to you. Some of you got that. All of you didn't get it. I said, you talk to him, he'll talk to you. That's, he's a God that answers prayer. The Lord told us that night, during the night, that I was to accept that post of moving to Springfield, Missouri, become general treasurer of the Assemblies of God. It was okay. It wasn't what I would have chosen. I loved pastoring. But it was his will. I got there and discovered that the general counsel was $5 million upside down. Didn't have money. They said, usually we give the general superintendent, we buy him a new Cadillac. I said, I don't need no new Cadillac. You don't have the money to buy one anyway. I said, I'll tell you what you do. You put money in a fund and charge the fund for them for that use of that money. Let me drive what I want to drive, and that you don't have to worry about it. In the 14 years I was general, the 19 years, because it was 5 years I served as general treasurer. And when I resigned, and at the end, the general treasurer then brought a check to me. He said, Brother Trask, here's the money you made with driving used cars. It was a check for $20,000. I had turned the profits, the earnings, back to the general counsel during those years. But it was his will. Not unhappy. Happy to do what he asked you to do. Let me tell you, let me close. What time is it? My clock says it's 10 o'clock. Springfield time. Let me tell you, you will enjoy every moment living under the canopy of his favor, his blessing, his grace, his care, knowing that you did what he wanted you to do. So whatever you do, present yourself to him and say, Lord, thy will be done in my life, in our home. Number two, make a consecration. Dedicate yourself to fulfilling that. Just be patient with him. He'll be patient with you. I say, he'll be patient with you. He's been patient with you. Some of you a long time. No, I don't say that unkindly. But if you want to enjoy the fullness of his blessing and the fullness of his grace, and his, the canopy of his covering, you got to fulfill his will, his pleasure, his desire. He knows what's best for you. He knows what you're made of, how what makes you tick. Yes, he does. And he wants to prove that to you. I said he wants to prove that to you. So whatever you do, say yes. Don't argue with him. Don't try to bait him. Don't try to buy him off. He's not for sale. You can't. There's no bargaining. You have to say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. If that's what you want me to do, I'll do it. Your life will become anew as a Christian. You'll see blessings that you never knew possible. You'll see favor, the favor of God, and measures you absolutely will astound you. Because he loves you. He knows what makes you tick. He knows what will bring that to you. But he's got to do it, not you doing it. See the difference? You say, well, Brother Trask, I'm trying to live for Jesus, and I tithe, and I visit these boxes they got here. You better. But that's not the answer. The answer comes in consecration, where you'll get alone with him and alone with God and let him talk to you. He will. He will. So, Lord, we thank you this morning. We thank you for who you are. I thank you for this beautiful congregation that you've gathered here in Brighton, Michigan. I pray, Lord, that you will continue to open the windows of heaven and pour out of your blessing. We ask for heaven's best for this body of believers, Lord. I pray that you will fulfill their hunger and their desire. When you hear them say, "Here I am, Lord, have your way, have your will. I dedicate, I consecrate, I commit my life to you, Lord. I trust you. I believe I can trust you." I want to close this service this morning. For those of you who've gathered with us in this Sunday morning service, and you say, "Brother Trask, I'm in the throes of having to make some decisions that you've just identified. And I want to do what you've admonished us to do. But I need the Lord's help. I'm not strong. He'll become your strength. He'll become your help." But if you're in that place in your life and in your occupation, whatever the case might be, I want you to stand where you're sitting, because I want to have a special prayer that the Lord will come to you and reveal himself to you and show you his will. So those of you across the congregation, you're at a point of decision. Stand right where you are. Would you do that? Yes. That's good. Nobody's going to ask you what it is. That's between you and the Lord. Remember the three things it takes. Presentation. Consecration. Fullness of his presence, others. Just stand where you're at. If you got a mate, take the hand of your mate, because it's a husband-wife thing. Even if you're the head of the house, that's okay. You need her to be on board. That's one of the joys of 67 years of marriage with Shirley and now with Ramona, isn't it a single, it's a pair. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you will come powerfully to these who stand in this sanctuary, those who are in the throes of having to make life-changing decisions. You're mindful, Lord. And as they stand in a sign of presentation and consecration this morning, I ask that you will reveal yourself to them in such a capacity, in such a measure, that they'll know beyond a shadow of a doubt, I'm doing the Lord's will. I'm doing what he wants me to do. I am what he wants me to be. I ask, Lord, you'll move mountains if necessary. I ask that you do the miraculous. Show yourself strong. on their behalf, I pray. In the wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name. Now begin to thank him, would you? Begin to thank him. We thank you, Lord. We thank you that you're a prayer-answering God. You do answer prayer. Hallelujah, hallelujah. And to thee we give you the glory and the praise. In Jesus' wonderful, wonderful, wonderful name. Amen and amen. Pastor God.